I finally got a diagnosis. I'm allergic to one food, and it's something I basically eat every day of my life, and it's beef. I guess I'll have to become a vegetarian. And that was a stunner to me. It's the only one food that I'm actually allergic to. There's a number of other things I'm sensitive to, including several other things I eat every day. And so I told Brian, the doctor kicked me in the shin. He kind of looked at me, and then so I explained what the doctor told me. But I'm going forward. I'll live through this. And so I have 3 months of absolutely no beef, no almonds, no almond milk, no avocados, no zucchini. I love that. Sorry, honey, I'm allergic to that. You wouldn't want to feed that to me. But anyway, so there are pluses and minuses to this thing. But sometimes I can maybe scribble a few on there myself. I am allergic to that now. And but anyway, I'm doing really well and clearing up. I actually feel tremendous. I don't sound the greatest other than being a radio host or something. I don't sound the greatest, and hopefully things will go well today. Let's have a word of prayer. What we're going to do is consider some things for marking in your Bible, and then we're going to talk about maybe some passages that have impacted you recently. I've said that a couple times that we would do that. And then I have a passage that I would like to go to if we have time. And then I'd like to give you some updates on some of the people at the very end of Sunday school. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, it's so great to come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So great to have you there in time of trouble. But Father, it goes so much beyond that. There ought to be those times we just start talking to you because we know you're there. And we love you. And you love us with an everlasting love. Father, help us to fellowship more with you. Help us to talk more with you. Help us to realize we don't have to be audible. Help us to realize we don't have to be alone. Help us to realize we don't have to be kneeling somewhere. Just any time. We can just talk to you. And I'm just so grateful for that privileged opportunity. The psalmist said 7 times a day. And I'm sure it was more frequent than that, but he was taking 7 times in a day to make sure he was praying to you. And I pray that our prayers are more than just when we have a problem or when we're eating a meal. But I pray we enter into a relationship with you. We thank you for your word, the ability to have it printed in our language, the ability to have many books to help us in understanding it. And especially then your Holy Spirit to teach us all things. And so guide in this very simple application of how to mark and study your word for our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, over the years I've kind of developed a marking system and a working system and developed the right kind of tools. By the way, sometimes we use a good tool, but in the wrong way. Michael Deal Jr. did that one time, didn't he, Brother Mike? You said, well, many times he did that. But I remember the time he took a hammer and used it to hit another hammer. And hammering tempered steel together is not a good thing to do. But he thought, you know, I want to get to this, so I'm going to hit the one hammer with the other. And a piece of the one hammer went off into his arm. And got infected. That's a time when you're using the tool, but for the wrong reason. I remember we had been on a missions trip, and the guy asked for a screwdriver, and so I gave him a Phillips screwdriver, and he says, "No, that's a screw turner. I want a screwdriver." And he was referring to a hammer. That's what he would call, that's a screwdriver. That drives the screws in. Well, sometimes we use the good tool, but in the wrong way. Sometimes we use the wrong tools to get things done. I want to talk to you about some good tools we can use today. I'll get to that in a little bit. And about the general way I use to mark the Bible as I work through it. And so we're going to be talking about this Bible marking, and let me make sure I get this headed in the right direction. Am I pushing the wrong thing here, Randy? There we go. I'm going to take us to Ephesians chapter 5. You don't need to turn there. You can see everything up here. This is just one. What I did is put this, looked at one of my Bible passages and just decided to show you how I do some of my note system. One of the things that I use is some Bible pens that won't leak through your pages. That's a special India paper in your Bible. That's what keeps it so thin. And depending what you use, you either make an impression that you see the impression on the other side, or it bleeds through to the other side if you use the wrong type of tool. That's what I'll talk about later. But I will commonly begin by underlining things, and I would underline the word see, and that word actually means to beware or take heed. So I can immediately see the word that I'm trying to describe or the word that I'm trying to cross-reference. And the more I get into a passage, the more verses or the more words I mark. And so I need to know immediately what notes go with what words. So what I would typically do is underline the word, and then I would underline the definition or the cross-references that I am using. And so all of a sudden, you know, I develop. I'm using a wide-margin Bible, and it allows me to take notes off to the side of that. Again, wherein is excess, be not drunk with wine, where is excess? The word excess actually means riotous living. And I use several examples there to where that is used. Or the prodigal son was living in excess. He was living in riotous living, according to the Word of God. And so what I typically do will mark my Bible in this way. One of the types of pens that I use, and I'll show them to you a little bit later, there are 8 different colors. The other set of pens that I use, there are 18 different colors. And so I have the ability very easily to switch out and make sure that I can easily see where my notes go. This doesn't come out as bright and resilient on the screen as it does on my iPad or as it does on the sheets of paper or on my Bible that I use. But you can tell slightly that the colors are all different here, and I will use a multitude of various colors. I also do a lot of highlighting, but I never use a Bible highlighter. Some of them are fine, but a lot of them, you flip to the other side of the page, and you can see where you highlighted on the other side of the page. That just drives me crazy. I don't want to do that. Some of them kind of give you extra highlighting at the end when you're marking, and I don't like that. And so I use artistic color pencils, and I get that information is actually already there on your sheet. I also use a lot of boxing. Be not drunk, but be filled, and to try to give the commands and let the commands set off for me. And so I will use a number of things like what you see here. I have things underlined. I have things highlighted with an artistic colored pencil, and I have things boxed or even circled to draw my attention so I know where to go in the future. What I shifted to, though, after years was a dot system. I'll simply call it that, where I put a dot at the very beginning of the word that I'm defining and then a dot at the beginning. And it just simplified. It looked a little less chaotic. I was getting so many notes in a passage of Scripture and so many lines and so forth. And I like things to be a little more clear for me. And so I went to a dot system, and that's what I typically use now. I don't underline at all. I'll put a red dot and then a red dot in front of the definition. I'll use a blue dot or whatever color and then put it in front of the cross references and so forth. These cross references, if there is, like you would see here, I forget now where my pointer is. There it is. If you see here, I don't have a book, so that means I'm in the same book. Down here I have the book and the chapter and verse, because it's taking me to a different book. But if I merely have 6:6, that means I'm staying in the book of Ephesians and going to the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Same with up here. Those are all found in the book of Ephesians. Any questions to that? Any questions to that? This I developed all my own. I was taught Bible marking to do it, especially in Bible college. But I kind of developed a system that worked for me. So you may absolutely use something totally different, which is totally fine. But it helped me to know what notes went with what verses and what passages and what words. I do a lot of highlighting, especially of transitional words. I'll always use a yellow highlighter when I do that. And again, when I talk about that, I'm talking about an artistic colored pencil. But I'll use yellow all the time. But nevertheless, it's one of the key ones, therefore. And so I'm in a passage in Galatians 4 that I was just reading through and studying this past week. And those are all major transitional. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Even though that is true, what does the scripture say? Stand fast, therefore, and it was based upon the verses before, that we have been set free in Christ. So now that we've been set free in Christ, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. And so again, I will commonly use a yellow colored pencil to mark those transitional words. And you're going to see in a little bit, I added something actually after prayer time this morning. Here it is. At the midnight hour before the service this morning. This is a passage in Proverbs 26 that I taught years ago in a Bible institute. And I was teaching them how to divide a chapter into paragraphs. And this one just jumped out at me one day. I was reading, and it was all about here, the fool and his folly. And all of a sudden, man, look at all the times fool and folly was used. But then it all of a sudden changed. The slothful, 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 sluggard. By the way, it's talking about a lazy person. So it went from talking about a foolish person to talking about a lazy person. And then all of a sudden again, and we're in the book of Proverbs. Sometimes every verse changes to a different subject line. But here it was actually divided into three distinct sections in this chapter. The 26th chapter, and all of a sudden it's he that meddleth with strife, he that deceiveth, he that is a talebearer, he that is contentious, talebearer, burning lips, a wicked art, words, dissembleth, speaketh fair, deceit, flattering, lying. It's all about our tongue, all about our words. And so I realized again, so what I did, for the sake of this, and this alone, I changed the color of the words. In my Bible, I actually use the colored pencils. And I use red to set off all these words. I use blue to set off all these words and green to do these. And I may take the time to develop that into and show you what that looks like next week. But again, then that helped me to understand this chapter is about various subjects. And they're all about foolish people. And but some of them are foolish in their laziness, and others are foolish in how they use their words. And notice here, they meddleth with strife that belongeth not to him. Do you ever get involved in an argument that isn't really your argument? Why do you do that? The Bible warns against that. And so maybe that's something you do. This verse can help you. Don't meddle with strife that doesn't belong to you. Why get in an argument that you don't belong in? Some that deceive their neighbor. Maybe you have trouble with deceiving your neighbor. Maybe you're a talebearer. Maybe you're one that is known for kind of being a gossip and telling on other people. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So do you ever think, I like sports, and sometimes I'll watch that. And I was watching an interview the other day, and they were interviewing a player who had a fantastic game. And at the end of the interview, the reporter or whatever kind of made this comment. He says, "Now such and such player basically says you're a jerk." And I thought, you know, why did that guy bring that up? Well, he brought it up for one reason, to try to get some strife going. And he was expecting him to bash him back. You know, this is typical. I think I would pass on interviews, and maybe that's why some do, just because they're trying to. But I thought he took the high road. He said, "Man, he's an excellent player, and I really respect him for what he does, and I'll play my game and he can play his," kind of a thing. What was he doing? He wasn't going to enter into strife, and since he didn't want to go on with it, all of a sudden the interview was over. I'm sure if he had something nasty to say back about the other player, by the way, just let it ride. You don't have to defend yourself. Watch the life of Christ. He didn't try to defend himself. And even as a lamb goes quietly, so the Lord opened not his mouth. And so that's a great verse for us to practice. Again, contentious man to kindle strife. So is a contentious man. What's he like? He's like burning coals and wood to fire. Are you contentious? And again, so I learned all kind of things and could make all kind of personal applications from this just because I marked in my Bible. And so what marking in your Bible helps to do is the next time you go back to that passage, you already, oh, I remember now, I've got some information here. Now, there are times that I want to open a Bible that doesn't have a mark in it. I don't want to go in with any preconceived thoughts. I don't want to remember what I've studied before. I just want something fresh from the Lord. And I always have several Bibles on hand. Don't ask me why several. Well, I only mark in a couple. I guess that's why. But I have a large print Bible, and then I have a smaller Bible that I don't mark in. So that when I just want to get something fresh from the Lord, I don't return to a passage that I've already all marked up, but I just want something new from the Lord. I think marking your Bible helps because you're going to learn things and build on the knowledge you've gotten before and to be able to develop that further. Any comments or questions to that? I don't think we're in a place where we necessarily need to do a lot of that. These are the three primary marking instruments that I would use or tools. I actually had all of them available to bring along. I thought, I'm not going to have time to really show them and demonstrate them to you, so I brought pictures of them. I like to use the Pigma Micron. I like to use the 0.20 because it's really small. I can write really small. The only ones that write smaller than me are Zach and Caleb. Zach writes the smallest person in the world. I don't know how Zach writes as little as he does. I think he's hiding something. Everything he writes is, you got to read the small print with Zach. But anyway, just kidding, Zach. But you can write really small. The Pilot high-tech C pens are the ones that have 18 colors. I think the smallest they still go down to is a 0.3. And the Ticonderoga Corlock colored pencils is what I use. These are the Pigma Microns. David, I think you got some of these, didn't you, at some point, and has used some of these. Some others may have as well. I've talked about these over the years. They come in 8 different colors. And I actually had Dad help me build a thing to put my pens in and out of because I'm very fanatical, but anyway. And so I had the 8 different colors lined up across the desk, Aaron, and I could any time be able to pull one out and begin to write with it. It's a 005, but that is a 0.20 pen. But they're really good. You can get any of these at like a Michaels or one of the craft stores. You can easily get them online. The place I found them cheapest even to buy generally online was Bob Jones University. And that's where I first heard about these pens. And you could call their bookstore and I could get them the cheapest there. I don't mess with that anymore. I'll just get them from a local department store, like some type of a craft store. And I'm not sure which all ones have them. The other one's a high-tech C pen. I actually have a 2 in every one. I bought special barrels that you can put 2 colors in one pen, so I didn't have to have 18 pens there. And so I could have fewer pens, so I have 2 pens in each barrel. And they are great. This is a 4-color barrel in the high-tech C. And again, and then these are the colored pencils I use, the artistic colored pencils. Again, I learned about this when I was in college. I bought the ones I learned about, and they work tremendously well. I use 6 colors and only 6 colors. I have a special holder for them. They do not bleed through. You cannot tell on the other side of the page that I highlighted on the previous side. It's just dark enough to easily be able to see, but does not bleed through. And again, that's the reason I use them. That came out a little bit dark, but that's 48 colors. I don't think you need that many. I think I bought a box of 12 or 24. I think 12. Karen uses all the same things that I'm talking about, and they have been very effective. Again, the benefit of all these ones, I put them on the sheet there in case you, they do not bleed through, they do not mark through on your pages. Many people in frustration have come, how do you find a pen that doesn't go through to the other side? These are special pens designed to write on India paper as well as other papers as well. And so they're very easy to get. Again, I bought these, I think, down at Michael's in Lancaster many years ago and have had them ever since. A little bit of what I'm doing. I recently talked about the Bible Karen and I are using right now to go through this year. And I did mark a little bit because there's two commands. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled. And then so I wrote a note for me to stand for God. I cannot be entangled. I can't read my own writing, but I can't be entangled in the things of the world. So for me to stand, I don't want to be entangled. And so that was one of the things that I learned from that. I really like this Bible. Christy picked up a paragraph Bible. And at times I think it's really good to read in paragraphs and not just, seems like every time you switch to the next verse, you feel like you're switching topics or something. This is a unique paragraph Bible. I actually haven't seen one like this. This one has the entire paragraph there, but with no verse markings whatsoever. Don't bring this one to church. You'll forever be trying to find out where I am. But it has no verse. I have a paragraph Bible as well, but it has at least the verses in real little writing somewhere. Like it'll have a small number 2, you know, and then a small number 3. This one has none. In fact, most of the pages you don't have Ephesians at the top. You only have it at the bottom. And so you can tell where you are just by looking at the bottom of the page. It's really unique. Guess where she got it? Good old Ollie's. Get stuff cheap at Ollie's. And $15.99, something like that. And so it's called the Reader's Bible. But if you ever want to, it does. I'll tell you, it does change your understanding when you read it in a paragraph form. It's just something different about not having the verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. You just flow. You read it like a book. And it is. Isn't the greatest book of all. But you read it like a book, and that might be helpful to you. I also, there's another way of reading paragraph by paragraph, and this is the Bible Karen and I are using this year. And this one actually gives you, as you see here, it divides it for you. That may not be a perfect division. I may not agree perfectly where they divide it, but it gives you an idea. Hey, we're changing subjects here. That can be really helpful, especially if you don't understand a lot about the Bible. Especially if you're new to studying the Bible, you can find a Bible like this that divides it into sections. It's a little different than what Christie's has here, where there's, you know, no verse markings and everything. This will have the verse markings, but it, again, is dividing it into topical sections. And they're great to have, and I'm done. Thank you with that. So again, let me encourage you. I would encourage you to mark your Bible. I'd encourage you to have a Bible you use for marking. I use a wide margin. I use a Cambridge wide margin. If you buy the good ones, they're $120 to $150. But you can buy other ones. And even the Dennis Deneau with a different bearing precious seed. It's different than the one in Ohio. This one's in Michigan. There's actually 12 different bearing precious seeds, I believe, by last count. They have a wide margin Bible, and it is really reasonably priced and great quality as well. And so if you like the wide margin, you can take notes down the side like that. But actually you don't have to have wide margin. You could have a normal Bible and just underline or highlight, and just be able to at least see that. You don't have to have necessarily all the definitions in the side. It's just helpful for me in my growing relationship with the Lord. Any comments or questions to that? I want to give an opportunity. Anybody? All right, I said a couple times in the last week that we would take a little bit of time today to see if anybody in their reading this past week got something from the Lord. They learned something new. They were, as they were reading, they found the truth they needed to apply to their lives. And I wanted to give a little bit of opportunity for you to be able to speak and share that this morning. So do we have somebody willing to do that this morning? I gave a couple of notices that we would do this and hoping that someone may, not even knowing I wasn't going to have much of a voice. Anyone? Did anyone read this week? You don't have to raise your hand, but did you read this week? I hope you did. By the way, really, the strength of the church is not from the pulpit. The strength of the church is in its pew. I hope you understand that. The success of this church is not based on how well I preach. The success, quote unquote, of this church is based on how well you live out the gospel. And on the basis of how well you lived out the gospel is how well you know it. I can show you verses I believe we should be in the Word every day. Blessed is he that readeth this, and from the book of Revelation. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other verses on memorize, that we hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Other passages about meditate, and the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Where is that found? Where is it found, Amanda? Yeah, very good, very good. And so, again, we are to be in the Word of God. It's a growing relationship. And so I would encourage you every day to find some time to get into the Word of God and to work through either studying topics. And I'm always lining things up, often have a year in advance lined up of my Bible studies. Again, I try to go through things meticulously. I feel like I benefit better doing that by being more structured. You may not, being that structured may not be good for you. But I try to be very structured in my Bible study. Right now I'm studying the flesh and the spirit and how they're at war one with another and how I'm to walk in the spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we've been looking at some of my studies on Wednesday night, and I've just been sharing some of what I've been learning in my personal time with the Lord. Been very relaxed, a casual study right now in our Wednesday night classes. Or Bible studies. I think my mom had her hand up. We'll get you a microphone.
I always love the buts of the Bible, or the however, or therefore. And as far as marking, I have different Bibles that I use, not for any particular reason, just they're all falling apart. And I just pick another one up. And anyway, I came across in my reading Psalm 118, 13, and it has, "Thou hast thrust sore at me," which could be any problem from Satan or whoever the enemy is, "that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." And I love that, "but the Lord helped me." And this morning, because I had a lot of things to carry, I just brought my Testament, and here I looked it up, and I had it marked already from another time. So I just love the Bible and to use it all day long in thought and prayer, and I love the buts.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, a lot of times that transitional word, and just mark it, just highlight it, circle it, underline it, and the next time, "but the Lord will help me," you know, and that becomes a real encouragement to us. Good. Somebody else. All right, Brother Randy. This is your exercise program, Seth.
I don't have anything specific, but I purposed this year to read my chronological Bible. And just going through the Gospels and seeing how many things were repeated two and three times, four times, in chronological order like that was eye-opening to me. And one of the things I picked out of that was several times Jesus had to say to even his own disciples, "Why don't you understand?" And it just brought forth to me, like, the world just doesn't understand some of the teaching that we have. We're always taught that if you sin or you cross the law, you have to pay a price. You have to pay something to get right. where with Christ's gospel, you do have to do one thing. You have to believe and one time only, and then we're saved forever.
Amen. Amen. Great truth. There's a book by Davies on the Gospels, the chronology of the Gospels. It's an awesome book because it takes every event and then it puts together any of the authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that wrote on it. And so you get it all comparatively. Well, Matthew mentioned this, and Mark didn't give the story at all, but Luke also mentioned this, and Matthew didn't mention that. And sometimes when you realize who they're writing to and what their theme is, Matthew's written to who? Do you remember? Who's the audience of Matthew? The Jews, correct. Mark is written to the... Anybody know? Greeks. Mark is written to the Romans. Luke is written to the Greeks. John is written to the world. Matthew, Jesus Christ is king. Mark, he's servant. Luke, he's the son of man. John, he's the son of God. And if you connect why Matthew's writing that he's king makes sense to the Jews, and why Mark is writing that he's a servant to the Romans, and why Luke is writing that he's the perfect man to the Greeks, and then why John is writing that he's the son of God to the world, that makes sense. And then you see what comes out in their writings. It's not a very expensive book at all. It's written by Davies. I always have it on my desktop and refer to that commonly, and it's very, very helpful. And it puts everything into chronological order as well. So it's really a neat book. Someone else, testimony, Ruth. And then if we could have somebody over here next, keeping with the theme. Yes, Ruth.
In Psalm 145, it talks about how we should praise the Lord for his greatness and declare it to other people. And I think that's the hard part.
Yeah.
But then I looked, after I read 145, I looked over at 148, and it says that creation, even the animals, the sun, the moon, the stars, are all supposed to praise him. And I thought, you know, I wonder how they could do that.
Yeah, even though rocks cry out, and he receives the praise of everything that he has created. And but it's good truth that we are to be praising the Lord, and it is sometimes a challenge. And in that psalm, it says every day and forevermore. And so at all times, sometimes we are selective in when we're praising the Lord, when everything is going well. Someone else. Yes, right in front of you. That was too easy.
I was reading and been reading in Psalms, and we've referenced this on a Wednesday night, I believe, Psalm 62. Verse 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." So often we look other places to get our desires fulfilled, but we can find it in him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. Mm-hmm. If we'd only remember that,
yeah.
I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. If we'd only remember that, so many times I think, oh, what am I going to do, you know, and woe is me. But if we just go to his word and rest in him, we can find our peace.
It's called the only psalm. Because four times, I believe, he references in there only God. And I think there's one other similar reference. I'll be reading that entire psalm tonight and be giving you an introduction to the background of that psalm, when it was written, and what David was going through at the time. It was very eye-opening when he wrote that. And that's also really helpful, especially in studying the Psalms, if you understand what was going on in the life of the psalmist at the time. I actually have sheets I can give you that do that. I have charts that I've developed years ago when I taught through the book of Psalms in a Bible college. And I found it a delight. I always like to know what was going on in the life of David or Asaph or Moses or whoever was writing when they wrote those psalms. That's a tremendous psalm and a great point that Mrs. Boyer brings out there. Thank you. Someone else? Something maybe the Lord stirred your heart, Virginia, up here. So. We don't have all day, Seth. Can you hurry it up there a little bit? Just kidding you.
Yes, I've been reading in the book of Numbers, and just how much the Lord had done for the Israelites and how he brought them out of bondage in Egypt, and just how I came to the point where they wished they were back in Egypt. And I thought, you know, sometimes we just forget how much the Lord takes care of us and blesses us. And all that reminder to me, all that the Lord does, but we're never satisfied. We still want more. And that was just an eye-opener to me, that we have to remember when we were in the bad times, how much the Lord took care of us, and he still takes care of us even in the good times.
Yeah. Good point. And must grieve the Lord often at our responses to what he's doing in our lives and our impatience. By the way, you don't need to be a mathematician to read the book of Numbers. Where did the book of Numbers get its name? From the what? Numbering of the people. Yeah, the numbering of the children of Israel. But it's a lot of history in there. So maybe you thought, Numbers, that doesn't sound interesting. I'll read a different book. It's actually a great, great book. And it just derived its name from the numbering of the children of Israel. That is also given in there, but it's not the predominant theme of it. And it gives a lot of those events of the wilderness wanderings and so forth. So just a tremendous book. Be worthy of your reading at a time. Someone else. Pastor Terry, all the way in the back, and then Lois Moyer over here, so whichever way you'd rather go. Boy, he did pick up the speed. You don't have to, Seth.
I figured I'd wait till he was up front, then I'd use my hands. No, just kidding. This morning I was reading in the Psalms 5 and 6, and as I read Psalm chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." As I read that, it was a reminder to me to make my relationship with my Lord my first priority of every day. And so I try to do that. I try to pray and read my Bible every morning. And you know, one of the things I really want to do is draw closer to the Lord and have a closer relationship with him. And I'm also memorizing Philippians chapter 2, and just share a couple verses with you there. And the reason I'm doing this is because it's an area in my life where I feel I need to improve. It says in chapter 2, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." I feel like I'm a very self-centered person. And so it's something I have to remind myself that I'm not the most important person. Other people are. And verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And so just an area where I'm working on. But anyway, so, yeah.
Very good. Very good testimony. Love. This is Lois Moyer yet. And then I want to pull some things together with a word of prayer.
When I accepted the Lord, I adopted Romans 8:28. As my life verse, and by extension 29. But I very much appreciate Romans 18 as well, and go back to that many times. "When I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then I read 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. What a tremendous, tremendous chapter. I memorized it around the age of 10 or 12 and still know it today. And just a phenomenal chapter and with some great truths. And I love the verse that talks about our body hasn't yet with redemption. Our redemption is not yet complete. One day we will find that complete when we are complete in Him, in His blessed presence. What I'd like to do is, again, and just reference one more thing I have on the sheet there for you. There are some good Bibles that can help you. You can get what is called a study Bible. I just bought another one yesterday. I've been looking at and watching for a while and finally found one at a good price. Study Bibles will give you extra notes. Some of them just will give you cross references, which can be a great help in understanding a passage. Then I have on there the Chronological Bible, and as Randy, I know Barlett has been reading as well in a Chronological Bible. And I also mentioned somebody had taught us in here, maybe, I don't remember who it was, that there is one, maybe Lynn did the, there's a Bible on in chronological order on an app that you can download onto your phone or tablet. So then you don't have to pay for that. The paragraph Bibles, and again, I put there's two types of those, and I showed you both of those already. And again, it's just a different perspective, different way of reading and looking at it. The chain reference Bible, it's Pastor Terry's favorite, is a Thompson chain reference. I have one. I love it. Incredible helps in it. I know Zach has one as well. And then there's what's called a topical Bible, like Knave's topical Bible. It'll give you a topic like fear, anger, trust, faith, and it will give you all kind of verse references. And those are all really, really helpful as well. I have Knave's. There's several out there, but Knave's is the only other one that I have. Let's have a word of prayer, and I want you to, I want to engage a little bit more in discussion here after the word of prayer. The live streaming will end. And I want to engage a little bit in conversation. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's a blessed book. And we're to look into that perfect law of liberty with a meek and quiet spirit. And then look at ourselves and make the changes necessary to please you and rightly represent you to a lost and dying world. Or even to a brother or sister in Christ that needs to be encouraged.